I'm a mythical Pandora,
sent here to judge the universe.
Do you have any idea what the weapon is?
It could very well be a planet killer.
I would really like to go on this mission, Admiral.
Imagine having the power to annihilate entire worlds, and even the stars themselves.
Humanity is worth saving. What have you done?
Pandora. New episodes premiere October 4th. Free next day, only on the CW app.
Catch up with the entire season of Pandora anytime on the CW app or download it on iTunes. You can also watch Pandora in Canada on the Space Channel.
Welcome back to Unboxing Pandora, the podcast where we take a behind-the-scenes look into the hit CW show Pandora. On today's show, we have actress Roxanne McKee to talk about her upcoming role of Eve Jo on Pandora Season 2. Roxanne also has had starring roles in such shows as BBC's Strike Back, Sci-Fi Channel's Dominion, and a little-known show on HBO called Game of Thrones. We get into all that and more on today's episode. My name is Peter Holmstrom. I'm the writer's assistant on Pandora. Stick with us. Roxanne McKee, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's wonderful to have you here. I was looking forward to this for a very long time. So first and foremost, you've been in a lot of projects. You're coming on to Pandora Season 2 to play the role of Eve Jo. And before that, you've been in Game of Thrones and Strike Back and a number of other projects. I hear those are pretty big shows. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've heard I'm curious, though, if we could go all the way back to the beginning. How did you first get interested in acting?
Oh, okay. Good question. So I was, I actually studied politics for my degree. And
oh, wow.
So I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Really, it was an easy transition to get into acting if you study politics, because let's face it, that's all politicians do. But not to go down the political route. It was just, I wanted to act for a long time, but I didn't know how to realize that dream. And so I just carried on with my academic studies in the way that I did know how, because obviously there was nobody around me who was in the acting sphere. And certainly no one was encouraging me to do that. My parents wanted me to pursue English and journalism. And so politics was sort of a sidestep from that, but along the same vein. And I thought that maybe I would go into research, or, I could maybe transition at a later date, into the political sphere, but obviously I took a different route.
Nice.
And so that came about because I went to an open audition. So, and the reason I went to the open audition was because a friend of mine said, oh, you should really do this. There's a TV show in the UK and it's called Hollyoaks. And it's a show for sort of, I'd say the age range is like 16 to 30 or something. That's the demographic who watches it. And it's, everyone on the show is sort of late teens, early 20s. And so I auditioned for that, and I was lucky enough to book the job, to my amazement. And so they taught me so much, and I'm really, really grateful to the whole of Lime Pictures, which is the production house that houses Hollyoaks, for giving me my first opportunity. And then from there, I went on to get a job with the BBC, and then things started to slowly roll on like that. But definitely I've had periods where I haven't worked, and in those times I just tend to climb and dive.
And you were on Hollyoaks for like 78 episodes too, right? I mean, that's a chunk of time.
No, probably more actually, because I was on it for 4 years and it's on 5 nights a week. So.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So it's, I don't think it's on here in America. So is it akin to our soap operas over here. So it's like five.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's exactly what it is. And so, yeah, the turnover is very fast, and the scripts are sort of written very quickly as well. And so I've always said it, like, since leaving the show, like, I believe that anybody who's worked on a soap is capable of doing anything, because you're given a script and you're doing those scenes the next day with very little time to prep anything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're just changing it there, like, just before you go for the take. So the workload is very heavy, and yet you're still obviously wanting to make TV that comes across as naturalistic as possible while exploring themes of depression, alcoholism, various other human pains that, you know, people go through, and trying to educate as well. I think that's partly the job of a soap too, you know, especially if it's directed towards young people. So I take my hat off to all people in soap, and I really respect the actors who work in soaps. It's a tough gig, and I have to say, since then, it's been a lot easier in terms of the workload, weirdly, because you get a chance to go through the material, and it becomes a very collaborative process, and you get a chance to, you know, really understand the scripts in a different way when you're working on bigger jobs, because there's more time and there's more money. So
sure, you know, I'm always curious. I don't know if this is the same over in the UK, but here in America, sometimes actors find it difficult to transition out of working in soap operas. You know, they're kind of not necessarily typecast, but it's a little bit of a separate world in a way. You know, there's a different crew, there's different writers, different directors than you find in other shows. I'm curious how that happened for you. How did you make the leap from Hollyoaks onto your next project?
Honestly, I didn't really think about it. I know that there is that narrative around, but I believe that you make your own sort of conditions, if you like. And so if you choose to believe in the narrative that if you've worked in one sphere, whether that sphere be a soap or whether you're a computer analyst and you want to become, I don't know, a hairdresser, there's always a step. There's always steps to go and do something else. But that's like with any job, from one job to the next, there's always a step. And as long as you want to do something to the best of your ability and you work the hardest you can and you believe in what you do, I feel like you can go on and do anything. I don't think that you should believe that you have to stop in one place because somebody somewhere said, oh, well, you know, hey, you can only do this sphere. Like, acting is acting at the end of the day. The job is to entertain people and make it as naturalistic as possible and make the characters resonate with the audience. And so from my perspective, I just have to breathe life into the writing, and obviously the writing gives you life as well, but you know, I just have to find that person within myself and hope that somebody else sees and feels that character the way that I do. And I think that goes for any actor. And also, I think, you know, just forget what other people say, just in general, just you pursue your goals, just move, just keep moving.
That's beautiful. I love it. I love it.
Oh, cool.
My next question would be, you've done a lot of roles that are more in the action television or film space. And I'm curious how the audition process is different for those sort of roles. Like, is it very much the same, or do you have to come in? Is like, you have to come in with some crazy martial arts routine already set up or something? Or
yeah. Again, it's interesting you say that, because yes, I have done a lot of action. I've certainly utilized my skills, if you like, as somebody who, you know, trains and works out and climbs, etc. But most of the roles I've done actually haven't invested much space in that. It's just that something like Strike Back, for example, utilized a lot of the physical skills that I could undertake. And so what happened with Strike Back was we ended up being trained by the Jordanian military. We also had Navy SEAL training and British Special Forces as well. And so we had the most fantastic opportunity to expand our physical fitness, which was something that we already needed in order to do that job. But then on top of that, learn techniques and understand how we would operate in situations if we were professional military people. And so obviously that was an absolute joy, because anytime you get to expand your own skills and learn new skills, you feel great. I mean, that's what we're here for. That's what we want to do. So that job was a complete blessing. I hope I did justice to the character for the people out there who are really doing that job, which is an incredibly tough job, both physically, emotionally and spiritually. So I take my hat off to those people and salute them.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm such a sucker for Strike Back. I just love that show. It's such an adrenaline rush every second of every day. And I'm sure it was part of the thrill
that
for you.
That was a hectic filming schedule. Because so I was working with MJ Bassett, and she is a fantastic director. I actually went on to work with her on another film, Inside Man. Mm-hmm. Which you can catch on Netflix at the moment and Amazon. but that was an incredible job too. And that did utilize some of the skills that we'd taken from Strike Back. But no, she was a demanding director and a fantastic director and a joy to work with. And that job was physically the most exhausting thing that I've ever done. But gosh, I loved it. I really loved every second of that feeling of like utilizing my body to its physical, limits. Mm-hmm. And so that was really, really good fun. And I don't think I've ever been so fit. So that was great. There was a lot of training. What we would do was we would wake up in the morning, we'd go for HIIT training, and then we'd eat. And then after eating, we'd go straight to climbing. And then after climbing, we would go and do weapons practice. And so there was just a lot going on throughout that. And that was just the training. And then obviously when the show started, we still had to keep up our physical capabilities that we'd acquired. And so it was, the 12-hour days and then going home to train at the end of the day. So, well, I would do things like squats on set and, push-ups and stuff, so I didn't have to do as much in the evening.
Just randomly taking five to do some push-ups.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in between takes, when they were doing setups, I would just try and get the exercise in. Because for me, like, I'm not naturally built with, a huge amount of muscle. I'm quite a slim build. And so I had to put on 15 pounds of muscle. So that was a lot of eating and a lot of weight training, So I was squatting 145 pounds at one stage.
Shit.
And wow. I'm like 115 pounds. So, that was a lot. Like, I was like a grasshopper. So I had some strong thighs on me.
I love it. That's fantastic. And part of what I love about it too is just it the show has that sense of like you're in an exotic land, and I love that. You don't get that a lot in television, like usually the TV show is filmed where it has to be filmed that, and that's it. And yet here it's like, oh, you're in a far off land, you're having these crazy adventures. It's harkening back to like the adventure films of the 60s and 70s and 80s. And I just really adored that so much. And similar with Game of Thrones, I'm sure too. Like I don't know where you filmed your material, but it's must have been a thrill just to like you're in these fantastical
Lance, literally in Game of Thrones, you're a fantasy. So I'm curious how.
I was going to say you're absolutely right, but I remember it's funny you say that because I remember walking onto set one day and it felt fantastical for me. I remember in the first season we were filming in Croatia, and the art department had done such an incredible job. And you know, already we're in Croatia, and Croatia is absolutely beautiful. But the art department had done such a breathtaking job with this set that I walked in and I was surrounded by. I remember the first animal I saw was this little baby goat that climbed up the tree. And then there was an owl, you know, and there was a donkey. And like, I love animals. And then the capuchin monkeys. And, you know, so there were all these animals around. And then there was the smell of incense as well. I mean, they really set that up like we were in some fantastic magical realm. And so, I mean, the art department did an incredible job, and obviously the animal handlers as well, and you know, the brains of Dan Wise and David Benioff, and George R. R. Martin, obviously goes without saying, because
of course
his mind is, you know, a fantastical world within itself. But for me, that was absolutely incredible, and that's one of the delights of this job, being able to go to different countries and to see things that you would never otherwise get to see. I mean, I remember I once went to Egypt for a shoot, and you know, I was taken out into the desert, and I had to give my passport in. It was a really strange experience. And you know, there was a group of five of us, and we were going out to do this shoot, and I just thought, I would never be able to do this. This is not something I would be able to do if I was just working an ordinary job, and I just decided to take a trip to Egypt, you know, because you have people going for recce and they have this visual of what they want everything to look like. And often that visual is something far more compelling than I myself could ever imagine. And so it's just beautiful and breathtaking and awe-inspiring actually to be invited to go to these places. So I'm always immeasurably grateful for that experience. I think that's the best part of the job. Yeah, the travel, the getting to explore different, well, I say different worlds, it becomes a different world in your head, but different cultures and different countries, you know, they become like different mini worlds to you. I appreciate it's one world, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's so different because you're not a tourist, you're there to work, you have to become immersed in the land to a certain degree. And
yeah.
You know, even with Pandora, I imagine you're there on set in Bulgaria for a number of weeks for this role, and you get to really experience the culture in a way that you don't get to do when you're just a tourist. You're passing through. You know, you're there for a couple of nights, then you're
exactly. And actually, I filmed in Bulgaria four times. You know, so they have a great setup there for the filming industry. And so I've been able to do a few projects there. And so it was really nice to go back there and see faces that I'd filmed with like sort of 8 years ago. And it was just a really warming and welcoming experience. Again, another thing is you make friends with these people who live in different countries who you would never otherwise make friends with because you aren't living in the same area. And then they become lifelong friends. And so it's really nice to know that you can go to different parts of the world and you've spent time, you've lived with these people, you understand people, and you know, people who grow up speaking different languages to you. And you know, it's just a wonderful experience. So Bulgaria was great for many reasons. But the other thing I was just going to quickly say was the great thing about going onto a set, it's like walking into somebody else's mind. And we get the chance to do that when we, you know, through words, we can describe the experiences in our mind. We can describe, you know, the smells and the tastes. And when we read literature, it's the same thing. We're walking into somebody else's mind. But to walk onto a set, we have the visual. And the visual is so powerful. And I don't know, it's like that secret box that's tucked away, that creative imagination of somebody else that is developed. And that's incredible.
writer's assistant on this show, I've lived with these stories now for so long in my own head, and they're not even my stories, but I have that mental image of what the stories will be like, what the characters are and everything. And so now to start to see, because shooting's happening, we're in the middle of shooting right now for Pandora season two, and now to see the footage coming back, it's wonderful and amazing, because suddenly yeah. it's like the imagination is coming to life, and sometimes you're surprised, you know, the actors will take it in a different direction than what you would have imagined, but it's just
and
wonderful.
You hope for that, I think. Like I was talking to Mark about the collaborative process of it, because obviously, you know, Mark's realized all of this, and he has this fantastic imagination, and you want to be able to offer something, and you want to feel like you're equal in terms of your creativity, and that you can yeah. also give something, you know, which helps establish that world or make it even better than somebody else dreamed it could be, and mm-hmm. and then hopefully that resonates with even more people when they watch it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If we could take a step back though before we talk sure. more about Pandora, what was the audition process like for this show? Because you were brought on, we're in the middle, or hopefully near the end of the 2020 COVID pandemic, and we were brought in for the future listeners, hopefully, the crisis has been averted. Walk us through the audition process, because I'm sure it was a little different than a traditional show.
Yeah, it was an unusual experience, because I'd actually been offered another job. I mean, I don't even know if I should say this, but too late now. I've said it. It's fine. And I very much go on gut instinct with, or if I have a strong gut instinct about something, then I'll go on that. And I didn't take this other job because there was something, it didn't feel quite right. And I felt like maybe it wasn't the safest time to be working. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do auditions because to keep a hand in as well, and you don't know when that project's going to be filming. So even if you don't feel like you can work at that particular moment in time, you know that project might not be filming for another couple of months, or it might get pushed, mm-hmm. you know, because of COVID, because of things that you have no control over. So I'd auditioned for Pandora before I turned down this other job. Mm. And I'd actually auditioned for another role, and then I think I was too young for that role or something. But anyway, I'd auditioned for this other role, and I got a call to say, would you be interested in coming and playing Eve? And I just got a really good feeling immediately. And I don't know whether it's because I like sci-fi or just because I enjoyed the script when I was reading it. I mean, I definitely did. That's always a bonus. But I just had an all-round good feeling about it. And then, so I accepted immediately. And I was slightly concerned about the flight, but not overwhelmingly, because I knew that obviously they were going to be taking precautions, and then I would be taking my own precautions as well. I was aware of what was going on, but equally I knew that people were being as responsible as possible, and I also have control over, whether or not I touch my face and rub my eyes and lick my fingers or whatever else. So wash my hands, I took every precaution possible, and I don't live in a bubble, and I'm lucky enough that I'm not somebody who is living with underlying conditions, touch wood, that I know of. And so I think, I just approached it with caution, and it worked out. So, and we were being tested every couple of days, so it was an incredibly safe environment to be in. I felt incredibly safe, and I was speaking with the other actors about it, and I know they felt safe too. So I think it makes it a lot easier when you know, you're being tested and your temperature's being taken, and you see people wearing masks on set the whole time,
right.
And everybody is adhering to the instructions, and mm-hmm. and so it, you know, you feel you're in an environment where everyone cares, and that's what's important.
Yeah, everything I've seen, we've been taking so many precautions over there. I think I'd honestly feel safer on set than I do in my own home. Like it's
I did. I did feel safer there. I certainly felt safer there than I do in supermarkets.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure you see it in LA a lot, but I'm currently quarantining in Oregon at my parents' place. And Oregon's just crazy. Like half the people don't even give a crap, and it's just like, come on, guys.
Oh, really?
This is a real thing here. Let's take this seriously, please.
I wear my mask all the time when I'm out. It's not, honestly, it's not really about me. Mm-hmm. I wear my mask because I don't want to induce any anxiety in anyone else. And also, yeah, the other thing is, if I am somebody who is asymptomatic and I pass COVID on, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. And I appreciate I might not necessarily know, but I'm, you know, a human being with compassion. And so therefore, like, I have to think about the possibility that that could happen. And I think that, you know, it's the greatest act of love, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that's what we're supposed to put out there. And listen, you know, doctors wear masks for what? 16-hour surgeries. Like, I'm not going to be complaining about the fact that it's a little bit tougher to breathe under there, you know. Yeah. So if you're around people, just wear a mask. Like, just
absolutely,
just out of consideration, even if it's just for their anxiety. I don't want to induce that in mm-hmm. anybody else.
Absolutely. So obviously we can't talk too much about spoilery stuff with season two, but I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your experiences on set. How was the filming like for you?
Yeah. Oh, I had the most incredible time. Again, like I said, I had a really good feeling when I got offered the job about the experience. And then when I got there, I think one of the first actors I met was Tina, and she was just a sweetheart. And then I met Priscilla, who's just as beautiful inside as she is on the outside. She's just so warm and welcoming. And Oliver as well. Again, like this bubbly, charismatic ball of energy. I can't say enough wonderful things about the cast. And I know that often, you know, cause we always get asked that question, well, did people get on as well offset as on set? And sometimes the answer is no, because that's life. But
yeah,
you try and make it just even. But I have to say, I've been really lucky for the most part with jobs that I've worked on. And yet again, I fell into a really great situation with these actors. And I'm so grateful to them for making my time just warm and fun and interesting as well. Like they're an interesting bunch, and like I won't go into what do we played truth or dare, but I won't go into the
oh
questions and answers for that. But yeah, it was interesting. It was great. It was a great time on and off set.
I'm missing the party over there, apparently. Yeah. That's amazing. It's wonderful. I'm always curious to ask actors this. Did you grow up as a sci-fi genre fan, or are you kind of coming to this fresh?
I have an older brother. He's quite a lot older than me, so Star Wars was like big. So you know, when you have an older brother like who you look up to, you watch their shows. And so I guess sci-fi used to be seen as a more male dominant mm-hmm. area, I think. I don't think I'm wrong in saying that, but you know, correct me if I am. And I think that is changing. And I hope it's changing as well, because I hope, you know, women feel like it can be something that they relate to as well. Mm-hmm. And So I guess in a way I was, like every younger sister is forced to be, you know, and then obviously I like the idea of experiencing outside worlds or magic. My mum was big into magic, and I think that there's some correlation with science fiction and magic. So I like the idea of experiencing fantasy realms, I guess. So yes, I would say that I'm a fan in that respect. I'm pretty open with regard to genres, but maybe I do secretly like the sci-fi genre a little bit better, because maybe I like to explore something that's outside of the world that I live in, you know, to get outside of this reality. I think it's nice to be able to disappear somewhere else and take yourself outside of your own reality. I think, you know, that's what we all want to do right now.
Yes, definitely right now. much right now.
Yeah.
I'm curious too.
And there's endless possibility with it as well. You know, that's the other thing. When you're just watching reality, there's so far you can go with it. And exploring human emotions and the human condition is incredible. But exploring fantasy is just, it's endless. So.
Now, how did you find the collaboration process with the directors on set and the other actors? You're coming into a role that had already been pre-established in season one. And how, as you as an actor, like to walk us through a bit of developing the character in your own mind?
So I mean, Brett, again, hands down, one of the easiest directors to work with in terms of how affable he is as a person.
He's amazing.
And also he's incredible, but so not only is he kind and generous and warm spirited, but he's smart and he cares about the project. And so when you combine those characteristics then you end up in a really good position as an actor. And he comes from an acting background as well. So he talks to the actors possibly in a different way than some other directors might. You know, he understands the process of what the actors are going through, and he understands that they want to know where they're coming from because they want to be able to feel that person that they're playing. And Mark is just the sweetest. I love him. He's phenomenal. He's so interesting to talk to offset as well as on set. So, you know, he's somebody I can definitely learn from as well. He sent me homework, and I know he sent the other actors homework as well. Like, you know, old movies to watch. And actually that's really helpful. It was something that a drama school teacher did that for me years and years ago. And she said, it's really important to look at other actors who you have a similarity to and, you know, maybe emulate their performances or at least understand what it is that they do that makes them compelling, because then you understand what makes you compelling as well. And and so,
do you remember what the list was?
I remember my drama school teacher, she told me to watch On the Waterfront, and then Mark told me, oh my gosh, I literally watched two of them the other day. I'd have to look up we can sneak them in afterwards. We'll have to sneak them in afterwards, but because I can't remember just now.
No worries. No worries.
But oh my gosh, I really want to remember. Was it North by Northwest was one of them, maybe?
Sure.
But there was another incredible one. I can't remember. I literally just watched it and I'm having a mind blank. Maybe I'll remember it at the end of the chat.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that it's not within the same genre. You know, he's pulling from so many different sources and so many different influences for this series.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you don't have to work from the same genre, you know, whenever you're doing any kind of character, because obviously the thing that you want to employ is different sort of characteristics for a well-rounded human being. Mm-hmm. You know, you want that character. That character can't be one-dimensional. And mm-hmm. so, yes, sure, you know, I might come into the project as a character who appears evil or mean or vicious or violent, however you want to describe the character when they come into a show. But that doesn't mean that character hasn't had a past leading up to why she is the way that she is and mm-hmm. why she feels the way that she does. And that goes for, and also that, you know, that doesn't mean the character doesn't have humor. Like, we all, just as human beings, we are a whole spectrum of different feelings and emotions. And so it's really important to remember that that's what a character is too. You can't just play anything one-dimensionally, because then the character is just not human. So I think it's, you know, it's great to have a director and a producer who are wanting you to go off and explore, you know, a multitude of different characters in order to fuse different types of personalities together and to make up, you know, this one new exciting character.
Pandora season 2, which premieres October 4th at 8 p.m. on CW. Mm-hmm. Shameless plug. Do you have any other projects coming up that you'd like to promote?
I don't know. I can. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I can't say at the moment. Okay. Maybe.
Fair enough. Yeah. Definitely The Inside Man 2, which is on, you said, Netflix and Amazon. So we can.
Yeah, Netflix and
drop
Amazon.
That back.
That's with Melamine and Ray Seahorn as well, who I also like to give a big shout out to because they were just lovely to work with. And obviously, I work with MJ Bassett again from Inside mm-hmm. Man. So from Strike Back. So anyone who likes Strike Back. Back will probably like Inside Man.
Amazing. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. I was going to start like naming all the great people on the job because everyone is so incredible, but I won't do that because that's probably boring for people.
Where can people get in touch with you? Are you on social? Do you want to plug any social?
I am. Yeah. They can hop on over to my Instagram, which is Roxanne_McKee. And my Twitter is the same handle, Roxanne_McKee. I think I'm more active on Instagram now. I used to only be active on Twitter. I really didn't understand Instagram at the beginning. It's like, what? So people just put pictures up? What's the point? If you can't say anything, if you can't use words, what's the point? And then I realized, oh no, you can. You can use words too. And it's nice for people to see a picture and get that visual too. So I think I'm probably more active on that now. Although I do like Twitter. I get, you know, my news feeds on Twitter. So I enjoy that. And, yes. You know, I enjoy the banter on it. I like follow various comedians and stuff. And the same goes for Instagram. But don't take anything too seriously, guys. That's what I like to add whenever anyone says they're going to follow me. Like it's just meant to be entertainment and and maybe promoting a few charities now and again. So
of course, amazing, wonderful, Roxanne. It's been absolute pleasure. I feel like I could talk to you for hours and hours.
Yeah, me too. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. I would love that. I'd love to have you back. So we'll wrap it up here. I want to say thank you to the listeners who are hopefully still with us. And you can check us out. You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Pandora Writers. And if you like the show, I hope you'll subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts and give us 5 stars. And so I'll say thank you very much, Roxanne. Thank you so much again for joining us. And listeners, I hope you guys will join us again real soon on Unboxing Pandora.
Thanks, listeners. Thanks. Bye.